Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is a 6th March 2025, Thursday class. So we're continuing our sharing from this book, Unique Dhamma Code, Straight from the Heart, written by me. We are at Unique Code 146. In fact, we finished 146 and we're supposed to continue 147. But never mind, I will have to go through 146 again because it's connected, related, and it can act as a refreshment for those who have stopped the class for quite a while. Because our recent Chinese New Year break plus my trip to Europe, I think we have a very long break, it's almost 1 month plus. So we will go through again so that it will benefit both the old and the new people. Okay, let us gather and we shall have our physical puja. Then let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Yao Sư Phật. Namo Yao Sư Phật. Namo Yao Sư Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhimi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchācāra viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. สุราเมรยามัจจาปมาทัตตานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกันนะสารัปปฏิเทนะดิเปนะตมาทังสีนะติโลกะติปังสัมปุตังปูชายามิตโมโนดังกันดะสัมบารายุตเตนะโดเปนะหังสุกังหินะปูชายะปูชานิยังตังปูชาปัจจานะโมตะมังวันนะกันดะกุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันตตินปูชายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกุสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเจโหตุโมคังปุปังเมลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสภาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now you will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings.Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Today, before I start, maybe I have to do some basic explanation or awareness-based meditation, because there are some who are new, who just come to my class recently. Last Tuesday, there was a couple, I think, Brother Chan and the wife. They also quite new, but they have been following some of my YouTube sharing, and also he managed to get my website, read the website, which is very good, and he find it very interesting, but not easy to follow. Then today, Brother Wong also quite new, but it's good that just now I checked with him. He said he has been learning the Dhamma for quite a while, and basically following the Theravada tradition, the Mahasi tradition. So I told him, no problem. And I asked him some basic understanding. He said when he listened to my YouTube sharing, he said there was one part that is a bit challenging. To develop the understanding of what is awareness-based meditation, which is different from the usually thought-based approach to meditation. Then the other thing that he find it quite challenging is we are basically Theravada. He does not have much understanding of Mahayana tradition. So when it comes to Mahayana tradition, the sutra, the sharing, and the terms that is being used, he may not be familiar. But I told him, basically, if you understand the real teaching of the Buddha based on the Theravada tradition, you can understand the Mahayana tradition, no problem at all. The only difference is there is lack of understanding to relate the two teachings. They are actually the same, except Mahayana is more extensive, more elaborate, and they expand the teaching into life itself. They took the Bodhisattva way, which continued the training for a very long period of lives, because if you take the Bodhisattva way, even Sakyamuni Buddha, through the wisdom way, it took him almost 4 world cycles. He considered the fastest 3 3/4 Asangaya Kappas, almost 4 kappas, Asangaya Kappas, which is very long. But those who go through Virya and Saddha, the faith, and the spiritual zeal, they take longer. You take the Bodhisattva way using Virya as the basis of cultivation, it may take you twice the time needed via the wisdom way. That's why that one can take 8 Asankhaya Kappas. But if you follow the faith way, which Amitabha Buddha and some of the other Buddha that take the Pure Land tradition, it will take them at least 12 world cycles or 12 Asankhaya Kappas. That's why the period of cultivation is very long. But when you understand the Bodhisattva way cultivation, after you are able to develop the training until you can realize the third stage of Bohemian development onward, then samsara doesn't mean much to you, because at the fourth stage of Bohemian development, you will be able to develop the wisdom to renounce samsara. Because samsara to you is no longer an issue. It's not about how long. It's about how you understand what samsara is. Because samsara is just the existential world, the conditioned world. And it's not so real, not what you think. So once you penetrate that, then there is no issue of how long it takes. The most important is the understanding of that teaching. Once you hit the third stage of Bohemian development, you have developed the ability to illuminate that nature within you until it is so clear, so bright. Then you develop that type of penetrative wisdom. And that penetrative wisdom is like what Kuan Yin realized when he was cultivating the Prajnaparamita Sutta. He illuminated the five aggregates of form and mind. When he illuminated on it using his pure nature, he realized that they were all empty. Empty of characteristic. Empty in the sense there is not nothing. There are things within the existential world. Within the existential world, our conditioned world, the five aggregates of form and mind are real. They exist. But this is not a permanent, unchanging entity, not you. That's why when you penetrate that and realize their empty nature, then you wake up, no longer have any delusion. Then when you have that wisdom, you penetrate what the teaching say, true emptiness. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, in true emptiness, there is no old age, sickness and death, no birth, nothing, no Dhamma. No birth, no old age, sickness and death and all those things. Then no one attain, no one become enlightened. So all this refer to the conditioned world's understanding. Sorry, the unconditioned world's understanding. So when you realize the unconditioned Dhamma, then you will understand why the conditioned world has its own sets of Dhamma called the conditioned Dhamma. So the conditioned Dhamma, everything is like very real. That's why there is the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma, the law of karma, everything. But when you realize the penetrative emptiness, understanding the unconditioned realization, then you realize all these are false, not real. Not what you think. That's why empty. Yeah. So that explains the only difference between the real Mahayana teaching and the Theravada teaching. We are basically, as explained by the Buddha, the Theravada teaching are the preliminary teaching or the initial teaching. We call it the sainthood way, where you can really develop enlightenment through the sainthood way. You should listen to my last Tuesday class sharing. It's very good. That Tuesday class sharing is requested by one Kayamita, who also watched my video. Then he suggested in a very nice way. He said, it will be very good if Brother Teo can speak on such Dhamma, is it? Explain solely enlightenment through the sainthood way. That will be very useful and very beneficial. Then as I promised him. I said, I will do it after I come back from my trip in Switzerland and Europe. Then last Tuesday, we had the first class. So we actually shared that. You listen to it, it will help you a lot. Okay, coming back to today, maybe I will make use of the half an hour meditation, awareness-based meditation, to explain to you all so that the new people can also benefit. So this awareness-based meditation is not new. In fact, cultivate all the way who understand, they will know what awareness is. In fact, awareness is sati before the knowing. Sati, as you all know, is mindfulness. When you are mindful, that is sati. But that word, sati, is seldom explained. And most people don't really comprehend its deep meaning. So they use the equivalent English word, mindfulness. So if you read the translation, sometimes you can be confused. But what really is mindfulness? People never teach. In fact, you look at this word, it's formed from two words, mindfulness. But people never inquire or go deep into it. Mindfulness, what is the meaning? Full of what? If your mind think a lot, is full of thought process, is that mindfulness? Is that mindfulness? When you have a lot of thought, means what? You are lost in thought, isn't it? You are heedless there. How can you be mindful? To be mindful is to be with the moment in full awareness, to be aware of what is going on. That is the meaning. That's why Mahayana used the word zi cai. Cai means within the moment. Zi cai means at ease within the moment. So this word, mind in fullness, is correct, but not full of thought. Mind fully aware, understand? That is the meaning. And to be aware, you have to be attentive, understand? So when you are paying attention, when you are very attentive, do you think? You don't think, is it? Because when you are thinking, means you are preoccupied with your thought process, means you are lost in thought. Then you cannot pay attention anymore. It's like in the class, in the school, when the teacher is teaching, if you verbalize and create your own opinion or thought, then what are you doing? You are not paying attention anymore, because you are creating internal mental dialogue, chattering. Your thought will inquire and ask, not like that. What I learn is different. How come the teacher when you are doing this dialogue, you are not paying attention anymore. So you are creating your own thought process, your own thinking. So mind, fully aware, means you are fully attentive. Attentive means without thought. That's why I define sati as awareness before the knowing. So if you define sati this way, then it's easy to understand. So the key word is before the knowing. When does the knowing comes about? How do you know something? You have the mind in there. The form and mind. How does the mind know? Consciousness is that thing. But there is an aggregate of mind that let you know. You have to perceive to know, isn't it? True or not? Sanya, perception. So without perception, there is no knowing. Just like if you look at whatever, without word, without labor, what is this? Before you perceive, you will never know that this is a Buddha Rupa, understand not? But the moment you perceive, what happened? You know, yeah, through what? Through knowledge accumulated in your brain. So what is that knowing? It's your thought, understand not? You create that thought. When you know this thought, you cannot be aware, understand not? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are fully aware within the moment without thought, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are perceiving, thinking, feeling. Your sense experience description of what that thing is. So all these are the movement within your mind, the mundane activity of mind. If you cannot see this, means you don't have mindfulness. You are not aware. And if you are not aware, you don't know who you are, what you are, how you function as a human being. All you cannot understand. The other thing that you have to understand is, every living being, we have two minds. One is your pure awareness nature, which is the first thing to arise from your Buddha nature, or we call it the source. This one, when it arises, is just a pure awareness nature. That's why I put here sati, before the knowing, before you perceive, before you create the five aggregates of form and mind. Can you understand? So this pure awareness nature is not a being. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's just a nature that is capable of being aware. When you are with it, it cannot think. It doesn't think. Yeah. But from here to here, it moves very fast. Very, very fast. Then from here to here, even faster. That's why the Buddha say, consciousness that arises through the form and mind, through the sense basis, upon contact of mind with the sense basis, you create consciousness. That's why this is a phenomenal world of consciousness. As a human being, you have your senses. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this phenomenal world of consciousness manifests very fast. And under the five aggregates of form and mind, the analogy of consciousness is what? The Buddha said consciousness is like a magician, sana, create magic for you to see. And another name for magician is illusionist, create illusion for you to see. That's why this phenomenal world of consciousness is actually the existential world, the conditional world. And this is like magic, unfolding very fast. That's why mind, the Buddha said, is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. The phenomenal world of consciousness, the whole of existence arises. That's why Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, he emphasized on that mind. That is called mano. That is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conscious mind. But we have a mind that is before the arising of thought, before the perception, before the knowing. And that one, you have to meditate to realize it. When you are without thought, who are you? What are you? You must silence your mind naturally so that you bring this heedless thinking and phenomenal world of consciousness. Living being has been lost in thought for so long. They think a lot. They worry a lot throughout the day because of their sense experience. They perceive and they stir their mind. They react to sense experience. They create the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. And all these are mental hindrance that hinders the mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot come back to here, because you are lost in here. So what happens is, to meditate, awareness-based meditation, is to bring all this monkey mind, sankhara activity, back to pure awareness, so that thinking stop, thought stop. This is where sati is, pure awareness nature. So basically, as a human being, you must understand this process. If you see it, you understand. If you don't see it, you cannot understand. Then it remains a theory. That's why, if you study Dhamma, theory-wise, it may not give you much benefit. It will give you a lot of knowledge. Knowledge-based Dhamma is not wisdom. It's not penetrative. So what happened is, I explained, initially this pure awareness nature is just spacious awareness, understand? Your awareness nature is just aware, nothing else, spacious awareness. In fact, when you know how to meditate, you silent everything without thought. This pure awareness nature can return to the source, and you will realize the oneness nature. You are one with the whole existent universe. You can realize this. But for you to realize Nibbana, this one must cease. The pure awareness must cease. Otherwise, you still with the pure awareness, the oneness nature. Yeah. So what happened is, initially, we are spacious awareness. But since birth until now, you forgot that you are this originally. Where you have been so conditioned into thinking, developing knowledge through memory. And when you accumulate your life experience through memory, you create the brain. And the brain is basically memory. And what is thought? Thought is respond to this memory. That's why with memory, you can create thought. But as a baby, newborn, you cannot create thought. Why? No memory. No accumulation. That's why the baby see things as they are. Like the enlightened being. But not much use, because there is no memory. But the truly transform living being or cultivator of the way that who has realized enlightenment, with the memory, with all the conditioning, he can still see things like a baby as they are. Like I said just now, without the word, without the labor, before the perception, before the knowing. He can just see things as they are, the direct seeing. That is what the meditation is. So when you are with the awareness-based meditation, you are here and you can see things as they are, without the thought, without reality. And this is the deep understanding and the meaning. But because you all are new, I have to explain this again. Otherwise, you all cannot understand. You know, when I go in, most of them are with me for the last 10 over years. Some are 21 years coming to. So they have gone through, they are quite familiar. So when we share, they can understand very fast. But for the benefit of some of you who are new, where you are going to join the retreat this year, I realized that I have to explain this. This will also benefit the 4 or 5 Singaporeans who came for the retreat the last year. I hope Brother Bing Phi, Gong Chai, Michael, and that lady, what is her name really? Singhua. I hope they listen to this sharing, then they can develop the understanding. But at that time, I only met them at the retreat. Then I don't have time to share all this because my 9 days retreat was shortened to 8 days because of circumstances. So at first I thought maybe I need all the time to finish off the sharing. But then I didn't realize most of them can understand, even though they are new, but they can understand to quite an extent where they have faith in what I share, and they've been listening to my video and teaching, I think, for many, many months already before they came to the class or the retreat. So because of that, the retreat went on very well, and we completed very early. So now I come back to this spacious awareness, okay? If you know that originally you are this pure spacious awareness, you are this pure awareness nature, is just spacious awareness. And this one is not a being. It cannot think. It cannot come out and live life. That's why it's not you. It's not a permanent energy. But this nature, you need karma, karmic nature, to karmically condition a form and mind for you to come, then only you can detect it. If you don't have this karmic conditioning to come to the existential world through a form and mind, then you cannot connect to this pure awareness nature. This one you must meditate to realize it. You have to go through the awareness-based meditation to realize it. When you realize it, this is the beginning of meditation. When you realize this and stabilize this, you will progress very fast. Then you will understand everything I teach. Well, my teaching comes from this pure awareness, not from knowledge, not from thought. Okay? So now, coming back to this spacious awareness, you must understand how from here, as explained by the Buddha, thought arise. That's why I say this spacious awareness can create thought. How do you create thought? Since birth until now, you have been thinking, creating a lot of thought. But do you know how you create thought or not? Yeah, that's why human being like copy, and so on. Because like you go to school, you learn knowledge. You don't learn understanding, wisdom. You try to remember, and so on. Then you repeat, like when you are young, most of the time, the parent will teach you, Papa, Mama, that's how you start. Then one syllable, then later on you become very talkative. Then like Pamasri say, he got the, what, Kui Sun, run a lot, very active, talk a lot, rub here, rub there. That's how we grew up, how the conditioning come about. But you have your cultivation from the past, you have a different karmic nature, a different spiritual nature. Then when you come, you are different. You can understand a lot of things. You don't behave the same way as other kids. Like my nature, when I was young, I remember my mother used to tell me, my father used to tell me, my grandma also used to. He said, from birth until 5 years old, I got no thought on. I hardly talk. But I very cheerful. I very cute. Very innocent, smile. But I don't talk. I don't have thought process inside. Like Hui Ning. Born with that pure nature. Not until I was coming to 6 years old, five plus. Then they transfer me back to a notorious town where I learn all the foul language, the dirty word, everything. Yeah. Because that time I'm still a kid. Then I went to school. They sent me to an English school. The whole village all go Chinese school. I went to English school. There, I don't even know a single word of English. And I was in the English school. So what happened was, standard one, I was last in the class. 10 subjects, I got 10-0. But standard two, I got one subject, 100, arithmetic. Yeah. That was because I very good at arithmetic. we all play card. I see the card, three card, no need to add one. I know the sum already. I know the addition. Then with two card, I know what is the third card I want. That's why my maths was very good, arithmetic. Because of that subject, I second last. It is that too. Then the teacher got problem. I supposed to get the book prize for arithmetic, be 100 mark. Then he saw all my other subjects zero. So he asked the HM, what is she supposed to do with me? The HM came to the class, looked at me, then he asked the teacher, anybody else get 100 mark for arithmetic? The teacher checked the list, no. Then he didn't copy, give to him, is it? That's how I came up. So anyway, that was history. So now I want to explain to you how you create thought. So spacious awareness was your original state. Then how do you know things? Like I said, you have to perceive in it. How you perceive? Like this Buddha image, my voice, or whatever you come to perceive in this room or environment or house. How do you do it? You have to shrink your spacious awareness into a small space there. True or not? So this is the circle that I draw. The small space, understand not? So this small space, you shrink it into a small space to perceive. Understand not? Then when you perceive, you retrieve from memory Buddha Rupang. Understand not? My voice, my Dhamma, English or whatever. Then you perceive my form, Brother Teo, because you have learned it through memory, through knowledge. So all this is what happened to you when you go through life. And the way you create thought is so fast, without mindfulness, you cannot see the process. You cannot see the moment of perception, the moment of consciousness, the moment you input the content of consciousness. This content is your sankhara. So this one go in. And this small space is actually the shrunken spacious awareness. And this is your pure vijnana, or what we call the pure consciousness before the content went in. And this one, the Theravada tradition, they use the word receptacle, is to receive something. Understand? That's why this receptacle receives the content of consciousness. So the content of consciousness, when it went in, content plus receptacle become a thought. Understand? That is how you create thought. Then when you create thought, what happened? You lost yourself, understand? You are no longer aware. Because the thought, which is the content, is what sankhara is. Your mental activity, your mental intention, your mental deceitfulness, your feeling, your sensation, your fear, your worry, your whatever insecurity, everything which is mind state or sankhara. That's why in the teaching Abhidhamma, they say mind state, sankhara, you have 52. Basically, there are 50, but plus feeling and perception, it becomes 52. And that's how the teaching describes. But how you see it, you need sati, you need awareness. When you have sati, you can be at the moment of sense door activity, at the point of contact, how contact create consciousness, then how the content of consciousness went in, how perception went in, how the thinking, the sankhara activity, how the reaction and stirring of mind happened. That is mindfulness. If you don't have sati to see all this, you are lost in thought, completely heedless. You don't know what is going on. That's why here I put, this is a phenomenal world of consciousness, the conditioned world, that lure you, entice you, and create a lot of meaning for you. I understand. That is where the excitement lies. That is also where the suffering world is. That's why this is also called the chaotic world. So here, the chaotic world, the phenomenal world of consciousness is the chaotic world. So this is the chaotic world, where the suffering is. But of course, it also lures you, understand? Entices you, as if everything is real. Like your love, your wealth, your possession, your career, your whatever. Even when you travel, the beautiful sight and sound, your whatever excitement, people call fun, joy, or amusement. Then now with AI, you got more things to enjoy. But when you are here, you become healer, lost. You are no longer here, understand? That's why you are no longer with your nature. When you are no longer with your nature, you cannot stay at the pure awareness nature to be aware of what is going on. So meditation is to come back to here, to develop the direct seeing so that you can see what happened here, you can see what happened here. Then you develop the wisdom, you awaken, and you're no longer deluded by the conditioned world, the phenomenal world. Because this one, like the Buddha said, exhibit the characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. You understand, no? The three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature. So when you see the unreality of form, the unreality of the phenomenal world, then you're no longer deluded by it. You're no longer deceived by it. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will have no power over you. Then when you meditate, you can return all this consciousness back to the five aggregate. And the five aggregate back to our pure nature. But from here, it manifests this. Then from here, it creates the consciousness, which is the magician. That's why the whole of existence and creation manifests. So what I need to explain a bit more is, people cannot develop the understanding to come back to this pure awareness nature on their own. You know what? Because they are so conditioned, they are lost in thought. You see, in the teaching, you have your five spiritual faculty. Most of you are familiar. Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. In our puja also, we make aspiration by invoking the power of merits for this spiritual faculty to stabilize. Once you have that spiritual faculty, then you can be in the state of sati. Means there is no more mental hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner awareness. Sati. But if you have mental hindrance, which is your sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. When you have this five, the Buddha says it's a hindrance. It will hinder your mundane mind, mano, the thinking mind, from coming back to here. Because these are mental hindrance. It will hinder your mundane mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, which is your meditative mind. You can only meditate from your pure awareness nature. You cannot use thought to meditate. That's why those who use thought to know, to create verbalization, you end up thought-based meditation, where your instrument limits you. It's like your telescope. If your telescope can only see 5 times, 10 times, it limits you. But if your telescope is like your pure awareness, it can penetrate beyond. Then it can see clearly, because it's beyond thought, beyond mind. When you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with all these things. The five real form and mind and the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. When you are lost in here, you cannot see. There is no clarity. You don't know what is going on. You have a lot of idea, a lot of concept, a lot of theory, a lot of religious belief, pantang. But you don't have wisdom. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot awaken to the reality within the universal characteristic and all the things. So because of that, they have to come out with method and technique and object of meditation to anchor the mind. Now you understand? Because of the mental hinder, you think a lot and so on. But you cannot come here. As a free mind, you cannot relax and maintain awareness and let this thought all cease. You cannot do it. That's why what they do is they teach you methods, technique, and object of meditation. And what is the purpose? It's to anchor your mind so that it does not wander off, understand? So that it's not lost in thought. That's why they ask you to note. But the noting itself is thought. So when you verbalize, it makes your mind dull. Jai Krishnamurti say, you dull your mind. Repetitive. You note, understand? And who is noting? The thought is noting. And when thought is active, you cannot be here. You are outside. You are thought-based. And you try to know. When you try to know, what happened? Your doubt arises. Understand? Am I doing it correct? And what is the method? A series of instructions to do things. Again, words. Understand? They read the sutta using word, using thought. Then they come up with method and technique, also using word, using thought to teach. And you gullibly become a meditator. You want to meditate. And who is that meditator? Again, it's your thought, understand? Your thought read the instruction, understand? Read the method. Read the technique. And you read the object of meditation. That's why they ask you to choose your object of meditation based on your personality. And you think it's very logical. Well, everybody do that. Almost everybody teach like that. So now you know that this is what is happening. Then I ask you a very simple question. Before you know this that I have explained, maybe you got no choice, understand? Well, that is the only thing that you learn. And you try. A lot of people try and get themselves like blocked for very long. Yeah, as long as you are doing thought-based, how can you realize the enlightenment that is beyond thought? The Buddha very clearly explained in the teaching the salutation to the Dhamma. And what is the Dhamma? The Buddha said the Dhamma has this characteristic. He said, Swakato. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Yeah. So Swakato by the Buddha is very important. This is the Dhamma that is well expounded by the Buddha. Bhagavato Dhammo. Then what are the characteristics? Sanditiko. And what is sanditiko? Immediate result. Can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till you die. The promise, release, or whatever. No need. Here and the now, before you die. Sanditiko. Second one is what? Akaliko. Timeless. Timeless means what? Beyond psychological time, understand? That's why beyond psychological time, beyond the thought process. When thought arises, psychological time arises. That's why that mind that has psychological time is mano. Not your true nature, not sati. So, psychological time, which is thought-based, can never realize a state that is beyond thought, which is akaliko. That's why that type of Dhamma, which is born of the direct seeing, the nature awakened to it, not through knowledge and thought process that create the idea of what that thing is. Now you can see. Then after that he said, not only is sanditiko, not only is akaliko, it is also ehipaseko, means what? He can invite you to come and investigate into his teaching. And his teaching stand up to investigation. He is not worried. That's why what I teach is what I realize. And what I realize may be different from what is taught by the normally accepted teaching or the book. But I dare to tell you, this is what I realize. And this is the real understanding. You don't have to believe me. You only need to give it a try. If you do it, if you realize the same result, then it is akaliko. Understand now? Then it stand up to investigation. How did I know? Well, I checked everything. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. The Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is cheap. When mind arises, all things arise. That if you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. And this one, I realize whenever this pure awareness become a fire angry or form a mind and create the thought. Once this thought got the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, karma take place. Then suffering arise. Very true. Then Dhammapada verse 2, which is the opposite. He said, if you know that mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is cheap, then what must you do? You must take care of mind. Which means you must choose correctly. You must choose to act, speak, and think with a pure mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. Then I check. Very, very true. Because without evil roots, your karma is taken care of. When you take care of karma, you avoid all evil, and when you do good, the merits come back to you. Then I realize, happiness always follow me. I don't have problem in life. But every time I try to cheat, deceive, and harm, or kill, or do anything, the nature's law of karma will hit back. That's what I can put to test. Then all the teaching, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, Dhammapada verse 21. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are exceeded. Then I realize it's so true. If you cannot be heedful, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. Because the heedless think a lot, lost in thought, do not understand what is going on. The heedful stay here and through the direct seeing, understand, awaken, that's why they never die. All his other teaching, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, the seven factor of enlightenment, I saw them all in the teaching. And the teaching manifests, that's why it's ehipaseko, can be realized, can be investigated upon. Then after that he said, the other characteristic of this teaching is it is opanayiko, leading inward into your nature. Then can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Pachetang, veditabo, vinohiti. Then I realize as I cultivate, as I develop the pure awareness, it came to my heart. It lead inward into my heart. Then penetrate my nature. Then I realized from here, that nature opened up, then I was with this pure awareness until 9 months later, my Monday mind collapsed. That's why I am always here. I no longer have to be here. But I need to live life. From this pure awareness nature, I can still come out with a supramundane mind to go through this and live life like a normal person. That's how it happened. That's why I say the teaching is very, very beautiful, very wonderful. You can have this understanding. My nature rejoices with you and I salute you. Okay? So with this, I think we end the first session. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhammo svanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhammo svanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhammo svanan kalo ayam badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho Vijjācarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusānaṃ Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam Chatari Purisa Yukkani Ta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakkineyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anuttaram Punyam Ketam Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, so now we can share, continue to share from this book, Unique Dhamma Code. Turn to page 40. I will go through last Thursday, the previous Thursday's sharing, so that you all can understand. Unique Dhamma Code 146. This code that my nature came out with. That's why I've been sharing this for many years with the Kanyamita. Since the year 2004, when I first came out at the request of Sister Yun Chan to share this teaching. By now it's about 20 plus, coming to 21. So this code are called unique code because they have unique understanding and they are very unique in their penetrative understanding. When you read to them with understanding, you penetrate the Dhamma. You realize it there and then. You awaken. But these are code that came from the nature, from the realization that awakened. Take for example this unique code 146. I say everything you come to see and perceive is via your pure consciousness. Yeah? True or not? Do you know how it happened or not? As a human being, who are you? What are you? As a human being, very easy that you have a physical body and you have a mind. And what is that mind? Consciousness trapped inside. Okay? And like the physics experiment, when you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. True or not? When there is battery power, means mind energy, then there is the contact, which is the switch. Then there is the bulb, which is like your sense organ. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. Means what? You become conscious. Understand not? Where you are a conscious being. You have your senses. Without your senses, you cannot be conscious. You cannot be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. You don't exist. True or not? How do you know the world? How do you perceive the world? Through your senses, isn't it? And how do you interact with the world? Also through your senses, isn't it? That's why everything that you come to know is through your senses. Via what? Perception. That's why initially it's the pure consciousness through your respective six sense door. You go to your eye as an organ, if there is a sense data, then it will trigger off the seeing consciousness. Then you can perceive what you see, color, shape and form, or whatever sense data. Then similarly for the other organs. That's why I say here, everything you come to see or perceive is always via your pure consciousness. Because that is the first to arise. Like the physics experiment. You no need a creator to create. You think that light bulb lights up because something very special created it? No. It's all nature's law. You don't need a magician to create it. Or a God to create it. Your consciousness is a nature's process, like the physics experiment, where everything is, the conditions are there, then upon contact, it light up. The lighting up is like you become conscious. Then why did I say via your pure consciousness? You are like the Buddha say, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. The Atta is not there yet. It's just like the light bulb lights up. And the lighting up is like the consciousness arise. That's why in that seeing is only that pure consciousness. Then what happened after that? If you don't have mindfulness, you cannot see, and you take for granted. That's why how you think, how you create thought, you never see. How they arise and how they pass away, and how it got power to condition you into fear, worry, anxiety, and emotion you also cannot see. That's why you don't know who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how you stir your mind, how you get angry, emotional, fearful, and how your suffering arises. You cannot understand. Yeah, you are not sensitive. You don't have mindfulness. You don't have awareness. You are not with your nature. You are with your thought process. You got a lot of idea, a lot of views, opinion, conditioning, belief systems. You associate with a lot of religion, religious belief, a lot of theory, a lot of philosophy. But you never really develop the wisdom within to truly understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And to do that, you need sati, you need mindfulness. You need to be aware from that nature to see, to the direct seeing. When you have the direct seeing without thought to obscure you and to delude you, and to deceive you, then that seeing is seeing reality, seeing truth, seeing things as they are, like the Buddha said, jnana dasana. Then you awaken. It's not a knowledge. That nature awaken. Awaken to what? To their universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. That's why it's a universal characteristic. Every phenomena in this existential world, they exhibit that three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. That's why it's called a conditioned world. That's why the Buddha came to the understanding that he proclaimed the famous verse to the disciple. Whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. That is the most profound understanding. That is what the Diamond Sutta first stanza is. Yi qie yu wei fa. Everything within the conditioned world is conditioned dhamma. That's why I say whatever that arises within the conditioned world, there are causes and conditions behind. So yu wei fa means condition arising dhamma. And the teaching is the same. But people look at the words, they think it's different. They cannot penetrate, they cannot understand. So all these are the real teaching. When you penetrate, awaken, you will understand. Then you know how to apply. Then you know how to share and teach. And people can come and investigate into it. You can come to the same understanding and realization, then you benefit, make use of it, take it. So this part is very easy to understand, through your senses. Then after that I say, then you input the content of consciousness to transform it into a thought, which is your mental aggregates of form and mind. What are your mental aggregates of form and mind? You just have to ask, what can your mind do? What can your mind do? Your mind can? Perceive is one. That is the aggregate of sanya. That one is mental intention, one of the sankhara activity. You see, sankhara got 52. Mental intention is also sankhara. Mental activity is also sankhara. Mental state is also sankhara. Mental formation is also sankhara. your thought process, also sankhara. Your emotion, also sankhara. Your sensation, also sankhara. Your fear, worry, anxiety, your planning, scheming, all these are sankhara. So sankhara, they say 52, is how the Buddha want to define it. To me, is everything your mind can do is sankhara. Understand? That's why it's called the content of consciousness, including your feeling and perception. The reason why the Buddha include the feeling and perception is because this feeling and perception is very important in his teaching. That's why under the four foundations of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta, he has the second foundation, Vedana Anupassana. He wants you to develop the understanding of your feeling. When feeling arises, he says, aware. Aware of what? Aware whether it's pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling or neutral feeling. When you become aware, you can understand. But the teaching never explained that. He just tell you the theory, the knowledge. Feeling, three types. Then for example person, they can rattle out. So what are the three types of feeling? Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling. But in the Satipatthana Sutta, it stated clearly, when feeling arises, aware. Why do you want to be aware? Aware is not perceived or to know. Aware means through the perception, you become aware that this pure consciousness, which is pure feeling, has moved. Understand? It has become craving, positive craving. That's like pleasant feeling. It's a sensual desire. And this is a mental hindrance, understand? You are no longer with the pure feeling. Your mind has stirred, react. And what is sensual desire? It's a mental hindrance. And in the so-called Mahasi Saido tradition, they ask you to note. Note what? What sensation is that? Unpleasant feeling. Okay? Unpleasant sensation. But under the five mental hindrances? It's one of the mental hindrances. Understand? So if it's one of the mental hindrances, you go and note, you create mental hindrance, then how can you enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness? That's why you all were told to endure that pain. To know. And who is noting? The thought is noting. And the thought cling, grasp, and hold. Then, positive, negative, you know it, pleasant, unpleasant. Then what is neutral feeling? Neutral feeling is not upeka. Neutral feeling means it's not affecting you.
Indifference.
Indifference is not upeka. And what is that word, indifferent? Moha. Understand? Delusion. Because you are indifferent, it has nothing to do with you. Understand? It's just like your neighbor buy a new car, suddenly accident. You come in, you joke with your wife somehow. Your neighbor sui, I just bought a new car, an accident. If it's your car, it's a different story. No, the atta, the ego, the personality, the sakrality manifest. Indifferent beer, it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't concern you. That's why it's neutral feeling. But the teaching sent a different message, but that message is not understood. That's why very difficult to penetrate. If you teach based on the theory, then you cannot penetrate. So that is the reason why feeling, Vedana, is taken out. Understand? That's why for the enlightened being, feeling can become pure feeling. Means what? The Arahant. is non-grasping. Understand? It's not a upadana khandas. The final summary of the First Noble Truth, the Buddha says, in short, it's due to your sakkayadity, self-delusion. You deludedly believe this five-year form of mind is you. It's what you are. That's why it creates grasping, clinging. He said, in short, it's due to your sakkayadity that condition you to grasp at the five aggregate of form of mind that I call dukkha. That's why he said, upadana khanda dukkha. And that is the teaching. Understand? Then the other thing that you need to know is perception, sanya. Why must you know perception? Because the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind need this perception. Without perception, you cannot bring the external form into the mind. You need to perceive something outside, then only it enters your mind. Our mind got only Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, four aggregate. Then where is the Rupa aggregate? The mental form is the one that you take in through Sanya. When you perceive it through your senses, that one enters the mind. Then you have the five mental aggregates of form. That is the one in the Paticca-samuppada. Avijja paccaya Sankara. Sankara paccaya Vijnanam, the pure Vijnanam. Then you input the content of consciousness, it becomes Namarupa. Namarupa. That's why the pure consciousness is just Vijnanam. Then the content went in, it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. That one is the mental five aggregate. Then dependent on Namarupa, there must be sense basis, Sarayatana. Otherwise, this form and mind, the five aggregate, cannot rise. Now you understand the teaching. So, everything can be realized and understood if you have penetrated with the awareness-based meditation. So now, coming back to the five aggregate, the four aggregate of mind, what can your mind do? First, it can feel, it can perceive. Then you actually say the mental intention is just one small part of it. The third one is Sankara. Everything that your mind can do. The English translation, you use five or six words. They still cannot fully define Sankara. The common word like we go through, mental intention, cetana, like you mentioned. Then the mental states, okay? Then you have mental activity, all your activity of mind. Then you have your mental formation, the images that form inside here. But they didn't include planning, scheming, cunningness. All these are not inside there. That is what your mind can do. These are mental states. Then when you meditate, there is tranquility, stillness, awareness. These are all mental states. That's why sati is one of the mental states. And all these are not defined because the English translation is limited. Because the person who meditate that doesn't understand fully what that thing is, they will define it based on what they know. Which to me, not bad already. Understand? To able to cover almost 80% of what that thing is. But a lot of the things are not inside there. Because Sankara, that word, is very powerful. That's why the Buddha, in his summary, he says, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang. Okay? Why don't he say, Sabbe Vedana Sanya Sankara Vijnanam Anicchang? Actually, under the five daily contemplation, he did say that. But when it comes to the stanza, he only used Sankara. All of Sankara, which include Vedana and Sanya. Understand? That's why the second one is Sabbe Sankara Dukkha. But the last one, he never say Sankara. No? He says Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Why? Well, anatta is not with the conditioned world only. The unconditioned also anatta. That's why Dhamma cover both the mundane and the supramundane. That's why Dhamma covers Sankhara and the supramundane. So at the supramundane level, this one, there is no Sankhara. Understand? No? This one also non-self. It's not you. It's not a being. Not a permanent, unchanging entity that can live like, can come out. Cannot. This one is a nature. Like your karmic nature, your spiritual. This one is pure awareness nature. Is this a nature? Your Buddha nature? Whatever that is inside. You understand? No? That's why this is also anatta. That's why it says sabbe dhamma. Dhamma means the condition and the unconditioned. They are all dhamma. So the teaching is very precise. It's only whether living being can understand or not. Okay, so now you know the three aggregates of mind. Feeling, perception, sankhara. What else can your mind do? That one also sankhara. But there is one more aggregate. You have consciousness. You can become conscious. Understand? But you are a conscious being. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, like my words, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, you feel anything. So consciousness is the fourth aggregate. Understand? And that is the receptacle, the pure consciousness before the content went in. You have to see it in the meditation, through your awareness-based meditation, to fully comprehend and awaken to it. Otherwise, it's still knowledge. It's still within the thought process. Because you try to retain it through memory. You try to remember the Dhamma. Understand? Dhamma that is recalled through memory is not the real wisdom Dhamma. It's knowledge Dhamma. Always remember that. When you realize, when you awaken and penetrate, no need to remember anything. The nature will know. The nature will understand. That's why you realize when I share, when I teach, I don't bring notes on. Yeah. I don't look at anything. No, this one is just a guide because this is what I came out with. Understand? If I don't print it in word, you can see or not? You cannot see that. And do you think I need to remember all this? Yeah, I need to remember all this, then this become my knowledge, understand not? Why I read, I can explain. Yeah, this one come from that nature. That's why I say that nature don't need memory, don't need anything. Whatever you encounter, you will know. You will develop the understanding. That's why there was a very famous Mahayana Zen master, Guangqing Lao He Sang. I remember that one came from his Dhamma sharing. He said, a lot of the disciple or the follower or devotee asked him, he said, what is wisdom? When you awaken, you realize wisdom. What is wisdom? You know how he answered or not? His answer was beautiful. That's why when I heard it, I rejoiced. He said, this wisdom, the word, is very funny. Sometimes the cultivator already realizes it, awakened to it, but he still don't know what that thing is. It's not in his memory. But he said when he encounter a situation, he know what to do. 那就是智慧. Because it's from the nature. The nature will understand. It is not a theory, it's not a word, understand? So you ask him to define wisdom. He said, you have to realize it yourself. That's why the Buddha said, this Dhamma is pachetang, understand? This panya is pachetang, can only be realized by the wise one. It's not anybody with the knowledge also can realize or not. That's why it need to be pachetang. It need to be realized by the wise, each by themselves. And nobody else can do it for you. That's why Mahayana got a very beautiful saying. Xuanhua always say, 个人吃饭，个人饱. Understand? Like the Buddha say, even our Buddhist hymn also, I think have a very beautiful saying on this. He say, this Dhamma that I have realized, you see, yeah, as the Buddha, I can only show you the way, understand? Not? You need to walk the path yourself, isn't it? Buddha merely showed the way, we ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way, because if he can make you enlightened, you think he is not compassionate enough? The Buddha is the greatest being with all the love, compassion and wisdom. You think he don't want to give to you? But it cannot be done. Understand? Well, this one need to be realized by the wise, each for themselves.
Just the analogy why words and knowledge cannot explain the Dhamma. I realize everything in the world, everything that we know actually cannot be explained, like fire. How do you explain fire to someone who hasn't experienced fire? Red color, blue color, color blind, how to explain? Everything also is like you have to investigate, observe, and just look here, see all the senses. Then only we form our own understanding, which may be incomplete, and then it's a process.
Yes. That's why there are argument and all those things. Like sugar is sweet, okay? You think it's easy to understand sugar is sweet if you have not tasted sugar? Understand not? If the concentration of sugar is different, you put sugar into different things, it tastes differently. Then you got rock sugar, black sugar, white sugar. Then the one without sweetness one, the coke one. Diet coke. Then how are you going to differentiate them? But you know, diet coke you drink are very different. If you have drank the real sugar, you don't like diet coke one. Because the taste is totally different. So what Sui share is really good, because when you have enough understanding of what the Dhamma is, then you realize the world is what the Buddha meant. Everything within the conditioned world is conditioned Dhamma. And these are not the truth. Well, these are conventional truth. You know what is conventional truth, isn't it? It follows convention. Different culture, different people, different race, they have their own convention of things, understand? But when it comes to truth, there is only one truth. Suchness or tatata. That's why the Buddha is called a Tathagata. He's an expert in suchness. Because tatata is suchness, the tasness of thing. That's why when he was about to pass away, Ananda asked the Buddha, how should we address you and the teaching? He said, you use the word thus. Thus have I heard. So the Buddha is tatata, suchness, expert in suchness. Because what he has discovered is the truth, the Dhamma. And the Dhamma cover both the mundane and the supramundane. That's why this Dhamma has all those characteristics. That is how he came to realize them. Then when it comes to this Dhamma, he always say they are very unique truth. So what he has taught, the essence of his teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, it is a truth, understand? But these are not ordinary truths. These are not even suitable for you to call it universal truth. No, it is way beyond universal truth. Why did he call his teaching, the essence of his teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Truth? During the time of the Buddha, the noble ones are called Arya. Okay? Why are they called Aryas? Noble ones. Because these beings that are enlightened, they are very noble in all aspects of their understanding. They have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. They are very noble in their understanding of life. That's why they have right view, right understanding. Then they are very noble in the way they conduct themselves. They have right thought, right speech, right action. And they live their life very nobly. That's why right living or right livelihood, you may call. Then they have the embodiment of the four right effort that constantly improve themselves and purify themselves. Then they have the, what they call, the very noble quality of sati and samadhi. So this sati and samadhi is when they realize their awareness nature, their pure awareness nature, they have samasati. The sati is always with them. They are always in that state of sati. That's why the Buddha is an awakened being. He no longer sleep. Why? Because he no longer deluded. He is an awakened being. Yeah. That's why the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, complete enlightenment. So sati is a fundamental mind state of the enlightened being. And when your sati stabilizes, born of wisdom, it becomes samadhi. That's why samadhi is not concentration. It's not one-pointedness. That one is jhana samadhi. The one that the Buddha talked about, the sama samadhi, is with the upeka, the last of the seven factors of enlightenment. What is upeka? The mind that is equanimous. But it's a free mind, understand? Not a conditioned mind that is in concentration or samatha.
Just to share my understanding on this part also. Because when we become very concentrated or absorbed, even a kid watching TV, la, all the senses...
Yeah, la, you are lost.
All blocked off. Pain also cannot feel. Numb already also don't know.
Yeah, because you are so intense. Yeah. Focus. So that focusing is the opposite of spacious awareness. When you focus, you concentrate. That's why all the method, technique, jhana, one-pointedness, you focus, you concentrate. Why? So that they kill the thought. The thought cannot arise. So when you constantly note, that's why they got 40 objects of meditation for you to note. Even the abhinya, the light kasina, earth kasina, water kasina, all the kasinas. These are meditation objects the Hindu do a lot to focus your mind, to concentrate your mind. And this is not samadhi. Yeah, you want to ask? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Brother Teo, would that be similar to the like when we practice vipassana, so-called the moment-to-moment concentration, such as Kanika Samadhi?
I will advise you to go and read up that book, The Difference Between Awareness and Consciousness. You read up or you listen to the video sharing. I explain there are three types of samadhi under the Hindu teaching. Or I should say Visuddhimagga. You know Visuddhimagga, seven stages of purification, written by who? Buddha Gosa, who is he? He was originally a Hindu. He is an authority in this topic. The whole teaching, he knows very well, the Hindu teaching. Then he translated the Visuddhimagga. That's why that three type of samadhi is inside there. The first type is what you described, kanika samadhi. They call that momentary concentration. They use the word concentration. No, it's not concentration. But for their case, it's concentration. Because kanika, they use the word moment to moment. Understand not? Then sometimes people use the word momentary, they're not happy. Understand not? Means temporary. But moment to moment samadhi means what? You have to be aware moment to moment. But that one destroys the teaching. Because the awareness is a continuous awareness. It's not a moment to moment. What happens is, when it becomes moment to moment, you think you must note. No, no, no. Every time you note, no, every time you note, it's a moment, isn't it? It's a moment, isn't it? That's why you think you have kanika samadhi. But a lot of you from the so-called Mahasi tradition, they realize this type of samadhi is not strong enough. I met a few ladies, I think, who were from the Mahasi tradition in the early 80s. They went to Thailand. They went to this Nong Kai. You heard of Nong Kai, huh? That famous monk that passed away, Long Po Tet, T-A-T-E, Long Po Tet. They went there and cultivate. I happened to be there because I was brought there by a monk. That monk was Prakhu. Prakhu happened to be the nephew of Long Po Tet. No? And that time he 90 years old already. He almost 100 years old. He was a very good monk. Then nobody can see him actually. But because he brought us there, he asked for permission and he invited us all. You know, he was very sick at that time, but we pay our respect, make our offering. Then I stayed there for a few days. Then we met his disciple. His disciple very good. I forgot his name already. Then there were two ladies, also Romansi. Then finally, they, through the sharing, they tell her. He said, don't tell anybody. But I don't know why I tell you. It was very long ago, 40 years ago, so nothing to worry. He said they were told by their teacher, to have the real samadhi, they have to go to Thailand. Learn from all these monks. So what they teach is, from kanika samadhi, you need to move on to the second type, they call it upachara samadhi. You know what is upachara or not? The English translation is
neighborhood concentration.
You use the word neighborhood. They use the word before you access apana samadhi into the deep concentration before you go into means assess concentration before you assess the apana samadhi. So you call neighborhood means before you go in. Okay? So what is upachara samadhi? When you go into apana samadhi, you know what happened?
Full absorption.
Yeah, fully absorbed into it. Means the mind was inside. Means inside there is this mind, but it cannot come out. Understand? It's in absorption. When I was young, I went into that. I can shut off my senses. The passing car, middle of the night. I like to meditate middle of the night. Then when I went into this apana samadhi, I realized the sound, vibration all gone, cut off. Then I felt funny. Why is that? Then I released it out. The sound came back. Vroom. Then I went in. Then I realized this is absorption samadhi. Completely cut off the senses. You can isolate inside. That's why they call it the three type of vivika. The first One is kaya vivika, means you they call it vivika means. There is an English word for it, but like you seclude your mind, seclusion. Kaya vivika means you seclude everything around you. You become a monk. You renounce your property, your wealth, even your loved one. You take over a new name. You become a monk. So this is kaya vivika. Then you go to a temple where the setting is very conducive. Then you stay there. That is to seclude yourself from this worldly thing that can affect you. Okay? Then second one is citta vivika. You seclude your citta, your mind. That one is you go into absorption, you can do that. Then nothing can disturb you. Very beautiful state. But upacara samadhi is, you remember the Buddha when he was very young, the harvesting festival. What did he do? He was in joy, dasana. Blissful, happy, peaceful. But he is not in absorption, dasana. That is upacara samadhi. He was in that state, he hasn't gone in. That's why the five jhanic factor, you heard of them before, no? What are the five jhanic factor? What is vitaka?
Initial application, sustained application,
vichara,
and
initial application of what?
Of the thought.
Ah, that's why that is called jhana. So, vitaka, vichara is initial application of that. Then you sustain your thought there. Like you fix it there. Like the object of meditation. You fix it there. No. Until no thought can come in. Then what happened?
Then you go to count the thought, only left piti.
Only left piti. It's not left piti. That's why you don't do the meditation, you don't know. When you got no thought, piti, which is one of the seven factors of enlightenment, they will arise. Because when there is no thought, it will arise. That's why you have, I better write down, vitaka, vichara, piti, that, sukam, ekagata. Why are they called jhanic factor? They bring you into jhana, dasana. That's why this one is a thought, initial application of thought. You apply your thought somewhere, your object of meditation or your method or your technique, you apply your thought. Then you sustain it until it becomes fixed, one-pointedness, dasana. Then energy build up. Yeah. But if you don't let energy build up, initially without thought, you will experience pity first. And when pity arises, you feel very good. It's like a spiritual joy. It's a joy. But it's not blissful yet. But as you continue to relax into it, this joy becomes so intense, it becomes sukhang. Blissful. Really blissful on this day. But I also went in the early day. Where I want to find out. Then after that, this one also fades away. Where as you do all this, this one becomes too gross already. Where you experience this bliss, blissfulness, pity become too gross. That's why this one relinquish. Then you go into second jhana. Then this one relinquish. You go into third jhana. Then finally, life is ekagata. you listen. You all know theory, you go in very fast because you don't understand. When you are in this, you know what happened? When you are in one-pointedness, ekagata, everything cannot move. Everything becomes one-pointedness. That's why they build up their energy, and the energy push up and make the jhana. And when you are in this state, you cannot think. And they believe this is upekkha. Because during this time when you are there, you pour hot water, you scold, you do anything, they will not respond. Asana. It's like they are in a state of equanimity. But what did I tell you? The seventh factor of enlightenment, upekkha, what is the characteristic? What is the characteristic in the real enlightenment factor? You're familiar with the seven factor enlightenment. Yeah. First one is what?
Sangha.
No. Sati. Without sati, you cannot start. Because sati can let you investigate the Dhamma. Understand? Huh? That's why the second factor enlightenment is when you have sati, you can investigate the Dhamma. There is a Pali word for it. They call what? Dhamma vichaya. So once you have sati, you can investigate the Dhamma. Then when you investigate the Dhamma, if the Dhamma stand up to investigation, what happened? The third. What is the third one? Ah, virya. It gives you the not only energy, it's a spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way, because you have the joy, you have the faith, because it stands up to investigation, understand? That's why this virya come. And this virya come, it will push you to cultivate. And when you cultivate, you develop awareness-based meditation, then what happens is, without thought, naturally, this mind, which is a free mind, you know, not in concentration, no, that is collected and unwavering. That is the samadhi. But that one is not upekkha. Yeah, that one don't have wisdom. When it has wisdom, only it becomes upekkha. So what happened is, at the third, you got virya, then you drive you to cultivate the daily mindfulness, the pure awareness-based meditation. Then once you realize this, it is a free mind in sati, without thought. Then piti will also arise. You don't need to go through this one, the jhanic way. This piti is the same piti, but this piti is born of a free mind, pure, without thought. Then when this pure mind, without thought, stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Means what? It's unwavering and collected. But not in concentration, no. It's not a conditioned state, no. This one needs all this jhana energy to keep it in upekkha, understand? Not? Without this jhana energy, without this to hold on, it cannot be in that state. That's why those who do jhana, what happens is, as they age, as they grow old, they lose their youth to be able to go into jhana. Then what happens? They become very weak and they start to doubt. How come last time when I was in this state, the jhanic state, I am like enlightened, very powerful. But later on, as they age, go through old age sickness and they have the reality of the first noble truth sets in, then they lose their ability to be in jhana, they become miserable. Doubts start to arise. Their practice starts to have problems. But this is not born of a free mind. Born of a free mind, your mind, what happened? You don't need energy to go into that state, understand? And this one is not the real one. The real one is the seventh factor of enlightenment. So after you realize piti, it will accumulate into paucity. And do you know what is paucity or not? Yala, you only know the word. They never explain to you what this thing is. What is actually paucity? Not only very stable, it's completely without thought. Because at piti, there is still thought. When you realize paucity, which you can also say when sati become very stable, then it become unwavering. Understand? Collected. So collected, unwavering, then the mind completely ceases to think. Then it's a free mind. You know? That's why this free mind without thought is in the state of tranquility. And the other word they use is stillness. So, bhasati is actually that meditative mind without movement. And this is the one you must realize. But when you realize bhasati, your mind enters sati. Understand? Huh? That everything you do is in sati. But that is your true mind. Understand? Huh? And people don't know.
So when it's in pasadi, it is very peaceful because it has wisdom and it doesn't get affected by the sense.
Not yet. Pasati, no wisdom yet.
Oh, not yet. Okay.
Pasati is tranquility and stillness of mind. Means you realize the true mind. Then you can see things as they are. You can awaken. Enlightenment factor keep on arising.
With all the senses and the sense data, the pasati can continue to investigate.
No. That one is, the pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. It's collected and unwavering, but it's not in samadhi yet. But the sixth enlightenment factor is samadhi. That's why when you do awareness-based meditation, I told you, you have to develop until that pure awareness become very stable. Very stable means you are in the state of pasati. Then your mind enters sati, understand not? When your mind enters sati, means in the midst of life, everything you do, there is sati. In your seeing, there is sati. In your hearing, there is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, everything in sati. Well, your mind has entered sati. That is your true mind, pasati. Tranquility and stillness of mind without thought. That is your pure awareness nature moving. That's why I say, from there, you can see specific phenomenal awareness. That if you shut everything off, you stay without a center. You don't even stay at the heart. You just let everything be, like the oneness nature. Then what happens is, you enter back spacious awareness without a center. You enter that. Then what happens is, after you realize pasati, what will happen next is you need samadhi to develop the wisdom. Means what? This samadhi is a sixth enlightenment factor. It is called the collected and unwavering mind. Because in the midst of life, when you are going through life, you need to use your senses, understand? And your senses, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, what happened? Normally you see, you stir your mind, understand? You react. Samadhi is to make your mind collected and unwavering. Even lightning strike, it still stay there. That's why it can see things as they are. Using that pasati, that true mind, then it can see all the movement, all the activity. Then how you stir, how you get angry, how you react to sense experience, how you become fearful, insecure, all you start to see. Then you realize anger arises and passes away and you didn't die. So how can anger be you? That's why you realize they are all dependent, originating mind state. Sankhara are all anicchang, dukkang, ditu, anatta. Then you awaken. Then panya. Once panya come in, samadhi and panya develop into upekha. Your mind become equanimous. Means everything can be understood already. No more problem in life. That is the real one. Not in the state of samadhi.
Thank you. Because I think there was a bit in the back of my mind somehow. I think if you have samadhi, you don't get angry. So it's not just like the example you gave just now. When you get angry, you actually see the whole unfolding. It's very clear, very crisp. How it goes.
Because your pasati has actually become unwavering and collected. Means you not only in the meditative state, you are able to be in that state. No? In the midst of life, there is samadhi. You know? That's why when your sense experience or senses come into contact with external sense data, then all the activity that happen cannot disturb you. Your mind is collected. And that's why you can see things as they are. Your mind does not stir like before. So at that stage means you are already beyond the sainthood way. Except maybe at Anagamiya, not yet Arahana. But once you go to Upeka, you are definitely Arahant and beyond. Otherwise, you cannot be in that state. That's why in my website, the 10 steps of Avijja Sutta, you go through that one, it's all written inside there. How to become enlightened. The 10 steps. If you go through, easier.
It's just that that one is not clear, like that part.
No, right? No, very clear, very clear.
When you have samadhi, do
no,
you...
No, 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 I go through again, then you will recall. I share in the retreat many times already. Stage one is what? Step one is what? You must have? No need to look at the text. You must have? You as a kayamita, you don't know what you must have. You must have Dhamma friend, understand? When you have Dhamma friend, these are the prerequisite to be enlightened, understand? You must have Dhamma friend. Then got Dhamma friend, you got opportunity to learn or listen to the true Dhamma, understand? That's why that is the second step. Because your karamita will tell you when got Brother Teo's class and all those things, understand? Then the third one is what? The faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha will be there, understand? As you listen, stand up to investigation, your faith will be there. Then after that, the fourth one is very important. What is that? Yoniso Manasikara. This is the initial wisdom that you must develop through your direct seeing, through your daily mindfulness, through your sati and pasati. So when you develop this daily mindfulness, you can be at the moment of sense experience, then you can see the movement, understand? That's why when you have this direct seeing to see the movement, then you realize the teaching is so beautiful, so true. Sabbe sankara anicham, sabbe sankara dukkham, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Then like what I teach you under the unique code, all this if you have contemplated into it, reflect into it, the second turning wisdom, then if you cultivate the daily mindfulness, the third turning wisdom, then this yoniso manasikara will stabilize. Understand? Then what happened is, at the moment of sense experience, this wisdom at the moment of sense experience, that's like yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso is the wisdom that arises at the moment of sense experience. And this yoniso manasikara is, you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. If you are not cultivated it, you are not realizing it, it will not arise. So what happens is, every moment of sense experience, before you stir your mind or react, what happens? It will prompt you, understand or not? Then it subsides. Then you don't continue with the wrong thinking, wrong thought, understand or not? Or the attachment, the craving, it will not lure you, it will not draw you. That's why at that stage, what happens? After you go through yoniso manasikara, you will have sense restraint in there. Oh, sorry. You will go to sati sampajana. Sorry. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. Because once you have this one, your mindfulness will be prolonged. Understand? You no longer stir your mind so often. So space between thought, more and more. More and more. More and more. That's why your sati sampajana means stability of sati and clear comprehension stabilize. Okay? So, you can only stabilize sati sampajana with wisdom, initial wisdom, born of the daily mindfulness. Without the daily mindfulness, you cannot do it. Then this initial wisdom must surface. Then when you have sati sampajana, means you have clear comprehension and stability of sati. So what happens is your sati is so stable, you cannot break your precept already. That's why step 6 is sense restraint. By then, you are at least a sotapan. That's why sotapan cannot break the precept already. Then after that, you continue to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Huh? Means from this sense restraint, you will continue to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you develop what type, the three type of right conduct, which is step 7. And the three type of right conduct is right speech, right thought, and right action. That's why that time, you at least got the gami already. Yeah. Then after that, only step 8, you do the actual Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness. When you do that, you at least anagami, is stated very clearly in the Satipatthana Sutta. Because after overcoming covetousness and grief, only you can cultivate Satipatthana Sutta. And what is covetousness and grief? Means the fourth and fifth fetters, sensual desire and ill will. You must root them out. That's why after that, when you cultivate the step 8, which is the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, then you will come into contact with the seven factors of enlightenment. Means the whole of the four foundation of mindfulness like become very easy one, very clear to you one, very easy to develop the understanding and cultivation. Then after that, you keep on witnessing the seven factors of enlightenment. That's why step 9 is having the seven factors of enlightenment arising within your meditative mind state all the time. Then step 10 is the natural consequence, which is enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why inside there, it's all stated.
Yeah. What wasn't clear was that when you have four foundations of mindfulness going to seven factors, right, step 8 to step 9, I was thinking like, at what point that person become unaffected by feeling? But actually it's, yeah, you know, that's the part that I always have that question. Still get angry, still get disappointed.
No, you see, when you are beyond the Sakadagami, you already no more anger, no more sensual desire and you will already completely rooted out. Because that one, the last five factors remain. The second stage of sainthood, you only attenuate sensual desire and you will. But at anagami level, you root it away. They say the anagami cannot get angry already. But he can still become restless. He can still have minor conceit. And he has still got what restlessness of mind. No, not that, not down. Restlessness of mind. Your attachment to form and formless jhana, anagami is still God. The anagami, born in the pure abode, got this, what they call, craving to be in those jhanic state, form and formless jhana. That's why Mahayana also they teach, si chan ba ding. Si chan ba ding, chan ding. And why they call it chanting? Because they know this is jhana. This is not the real samadhi. The real samadhi is the free mind that has the samadhi, ting li. So the real chanting is not the concentration jhana and all those things. That's the reason why the Buddha himself followed the two teachers, Uddaka and Alara. He developed until the 7 and 8 jhana. But he know that is not what he is searching for. Because he say, so what? After that, I still have my problem. You know what are his problem? No, he left the palace because he was shown the reality of life and existence. The attendant showed him. Because he saw sick man, very sick. Then he asked the attendant, how come this person like that, so weak, so sick? He said, he's a sick man. Then he said, how come? Everybody, when you grow old, you will go through, you experience old age and sickness. You mean I will also be subject to that in the future? Then he say he got a problem already. Then the next one, he saw old age sickness, sorry. Old man first. Then sickness, disease. Then the third one, dead person. No. He said, why this person cannot move? He said, he's dead. What do you mean by dead? He said, every one of us must die one day. Then he realized, I got problem. Because whatever my father gave me, the four pillars, no meaning. Sooner or later, I have to confront old age, sickness and death. And I cannot transcend. I still got problem. That's why the seven and eight jhana to him is no use. For what? Ultimately, I will get sick and die. He think that one is him. That is the Sakkaya Ditthi. But then, when he decided to leave them, he has his past. And his past actually got a lot of sign given to him. He know he cannot go the austere way which the two teachers teach him until he almost died, you know, without food, you know, boneless and all those things, you know, with skin back. And he almost died, you know. Then he realized this is not the way, you know. Then he was offered the milk rice, you know. Then he realized that he need energy. But he recalled when he was young, during the harvesting season, he was well fed, understand not? And he was happy in the first jhana. So he went back into the first jhana without going into the apana samadhi. Then he relaxed into it, and he developed the ability to be in the state of piti. Then after that, his mind, because he cultivated before, his mind enter pasati. You know. Then when he enter pasati, you know what happened? He no need to go into samadhi. That tranquility of mind and stillness of mind is his true mind. He has realized that before. He has understood that before. That's why he immediately silent everything and went in. Then he connect to the nature. Then he's spiritual nature all come back to him. That's how he recall back all his past, inherit back all his cultivation. Then the Mara, the three daughter came and challenged him. That time he has the wisdom ready. He no need to do anything ready. Then they want to challenge him. He just put his hand up and the other hand down. But they asked him a very tricky question. Nobody to witness, he said. You claim you are the enlightened one for you. He said, up there, space, sky, the universe. Down here, earth, the witness. Yeah, I am the, in Mayana, the Mandarin, the words are very powerful. Means he's the number one. So, all those things become very, very clear. Because why he takes 6 years after he left the palace? Because people make vow. Sujata want to make the offering to the Bodhisattva before he become the Sammasambuddha. That's why he must wait till that milk rice is offered. Otherwise he cannot. And he has to fulfill all the other things because the disciple all make vow. The wife also make vow. The son also make vow. There can be only one Buddha and one successful one to become the wife. So all these are causes and conditions that have to fall into place. Then Alara and Udaka, you know why they must die before he become enlightened? Because they believe the seven jhana and the eight jhana is the ultimate. And they make vow to take birth there. The formless rhyme. So when you make vow to take birth there, you must die before the Buddha become a Sama. Otherwise, he say, anytime he just tell them a few words, they will become enlightened. Then they won't take birth there. But your vow is so strong, you want to take birth there. So one of them just died the day before, the other one 1 week before. That's why it's all meant to be on. So all this, if you cannot understand, you will never fathom. You may think it's fairy tale, but it's not fairy tale. The sutta got its basis. The teaching is very beautiful. So now today, I think we went through a lot, which is very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, another 6-7 minutes. Any more question?
Good evening, Brother Teo. This is Teo and Amita.
Yeah.
Brother Teo, 这两天的 explanation 非常好.
Yeah. 很清楚。
对，其实我只是想 share 我一个小小的 encounter， 因为我我从那个就是我的 trip 回来，我的睡眠有一点点 upside down， you know， 通常晚上就比较难睡，我可以看到很多，就是我 observe 到他很多 sankara， 但是我就能看书就看书，能听 talk 就听 talk 就。No， 就 eventually 他就睡了，但是我可以 observe 到那个 sankara 是 a bit 就是 dukkha 来的啦哈。So after that， 有一天当我下午睡了下午那个 short nap 一出来，我拿起就是 as usual 就拿起电话看一下有什么 messages。读了所有的 messages， 但是我读了是一读了之后，我的 mind 是 blank 的
啊。Good，
就是呀， yeah， 你会 observe 到那个一个段哦是空的，没有任何字眼，没有任何的思想，
对，
那个清静的心哦，你是。怎么样说呢，就是你很多 join 在那边， you know，
yeah，
你看
yeah， yeah。
你会 differentiate 到那个当你头脑里面没有 thought 的时候，
yeah。
那个感觉是那么的清凉，
yeah。
这么的舒服，和你当你有很多 sankara 的时候的那个 big difference。
Yes， big difference。
So， yeah， so 那个 big difference， 所以就那个持续了一阵子，然后 you know， 当我要去煮饭的时候，那个 of course I have to you know，
yeah，
所以我的
yeah， yeah。
as you come back to whatever it is， but even 那个 short moment， 我可以看到那个
yeah yeah good enough，
yeah， 那个 moment 让我理解到
yeah yeah initially is like that， then later on as you continue to stabilize， you have to wait till the mundane mind collapse。After the mundane mind collapse, then all this will become different. Then the tranquility, the stillness will really shine forth, your true nature. Then no more mundane, the gross mundane thinking mind to cloud you and to come and lure you like before. The habitual tendency all gone. And this true mind, later on, it will arise. You will have to learn how to use it. I remember after my mundane mind collapse, I like no mind. Then I asked myself, how can I live life? Then I can still understand things, see things, and I can still do all the things, except that the gross mundane thinking mind no more. Then I find it like it's a new beginning. That super mundane pure awareness nature, I need to learn how to use it, to make use of it, to live life again and become normal again. So that one took me a while too. Then after that, I remember I become normal again.Then I can do the normal thing that I do. I can joke, I can talk to people of different religion or different understanding, then that time you become very different. Then you can become normal again, approachable again. Then no longer like before with all the very like when you go through the understanding and the transformation, your thought will still think, oh, you, how can living being understand? This is too profound and all this thing. That's why the first 15 years, I didn't do anything. 1989 to 2004, 15 years, I didn't do anything. Nobody really came and see me, talk to me. I just let things be until Yun Chan came. Then 15 years later, only condition arise, I started to come out to teach and share. So in fact, you look back, it's like Hui Ning. He was with the hunters for 16 years before he came out, after he left the fifth patriarch, Hong Chen. Because these are the period you need to stabilize everything and become normal again. So all this will happen, but Pyong Tan Sing, Si Zhao, it will unfold. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, Alicia. 这个经历让我明白到我们的 mind 那个 mundane mind 是 condition arise 的。对，给我看到这个，而且当你怎么说呢？当你不用做任何东西，它就会自己的
生，自己会停下来。
I doing nothing 哦，就是没有。
那你就能够 in that state 啊 ，understand you are nothing, you are nobody。别，它不是一个人来的，它是一个 nature， and that nature can cease on when you realize nirvana， completely cease， and when it cease means the mundane mind, after realizing itself, cease. The pure awareness nature also cease. Then the being that go through that cessation will know what Nibbana is. But the Nibbana is unconditioned, like the Buddha said, you cannot talk about it, you cannot describe it. Everything is in the negation, like the Heart Sutta. 不生不灭。Whatever that is non-arising and non-ceasing is not within the conditioned world. And the being that come out of it will understand. And you know what is creation, how birth come to be, how from the pure awareness nature, that first thing to arise. Then from there, how it connect to your form and mind and the senses. Then how the sense data come in. You witness them all. That is the marvel of the Buddha Dharma, the beauty of this teaching, which is very, very profound, unique, and so beautiful. That's why it's beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond description. But to share, we need to use word. We need to put it in words. But the word is not the thing. You have to realize it. And then, very easy to understand. Very good, Sadhu. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu. We are 10:30 already, 32 already. Okay, we end. So if you got any question, you can text me. Then I will answer next session. Okay, let us share merits, starting with the Devas. Akasata cha bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakkantu Loka Sasana Itawata Chamihi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deva Ovasa Tukalena Sasa Sampati Hetu Vito Bhavatu Lokocha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Imina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yava Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Konya Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one. Then we end. Sadhu.